go outside? Are you? Are you anxious to go outside? Huh? Are you anxious? Alright. Jacket's on. Zip it up, because it's chilly out there, girlfriend. It's chilly. Yep. And let's get your favorite. The red noseband. You love the red noseband, don't you? Yes. Alright, what do good girls do? What do good girls do? That's right, they sit. Good girl. Alright. Here we go. Turn the lights off. Put the gloves on. Because it's chilly. I don't want Daddy's hands to get cold. Alright. Grab your lead. Here we go. Let's go. Turn that light off. That light off. And we're outside. Well, hey there. This is Jim and the lovely Miss Reagan. And I was just thinking, happy day after Thanksgiving, otherwise known in the States as Black Friday. Or, en français, si vous préférez, Vendredi Noir. That's how you would say Black Friday in French. Vendredi, which is Friday. Noir, which is black. So. Sounds a little classier, actually, if you say Vendredi Noir than Black Friday. But 'tis the same day. Well, apparently, we had to do number one pretty quickly. We went already. Usually we're putzing around when we step outside. Yeah, it's a little more of the putzing. We are currently in the quarter mile of this walk, otherwise known as Dog Alley. I don't know how to say alley in French, so I would have to do a kind of a Frenchless French English mashup and just say Le Alley du Chien, the Alley of Dogs. So there it is. Well, we've given dog number one a look. Dog number two comes up on the right side. Dog number one was on the left. And we're already starting to give dog number two a look. It is chilly out this morning. Up until about a minute before we came out, it was literally freezing. So 32 degrees for those of us here in the States. And for basically the rest of the world, zero. So, I don't think everybody's dogs are out. It is actually later than our normal walk. It is 8 o'clock. En français, 8 heures. 8 hours. So, usually everybody's dogs are out 6:37-ish, which is normally when we're out. So, So this may not be Dog Alley today. It may be Le Alley de Silence. Right? Le Alley Tranquille. The Quiet Alley. So, that's probably enough French for today. So, we're now climbing up the big hill to the telephone pole of destiny, where all of my runs start from. I ran yesterday. I did what was normally known as an unofficial turkey trot. I've never done an official turkey trot. Never done one of those races on Thanksgiving here in the States. But I did do an unofficial turkey trot. So, you might refer to it as a poultry promenade, right? A butterball ballyhoo. A cranberry cruise. All right, I'll knock it off. I can do more, but I'll knock it off right now. All right? A pecan pie pace. Yeah, see what I did? I said I was going to knock it off, and then I didn't knock it off. But here we are. You will notice I said pecan, and not the more northeasterly phraseology, pecan, because I'm sorry, I ain't putting anything in my mouth called a pecan. Mm-mm. Sorry. I much prefer what the Southerners say, and that's pecan. But I did grow up hearing pecan. So I've kind of done I'll meet you halfway. So instead of pecan, it's pecan. If I wanted to go full Southern, then it would just be pecan. Like it's a P-U, pecan. So. There you go. There we are. We're at dog number 3. Giving it a look, but yes, dog number 3 is not out either, so. I think. Yes. La Rue Tranquille. The Tranquil Road. So, merveilleux. Yep, see what I did? I said no more French. And encore, encore. So, man, well, it is what it is. You knew what you were getting into when you downloaded this podcast. So, anyway, I'm sure you're wondering about the title. Don't worry, I will get to the title in just a second. So, as I said, yesterday was Thanksgiving here in the States. And, as per usual, my lovely wife and I went out to eat. Quite often, we go to a place called Longwood Gardens. It's about an hour from our house. It's to the west of Philadelphia. It's probably about 30-35 minutes west of the actual city line for Philadelphia. It is a 1,000-acre garden previously owned by Pierre DuPont, as we would say here in the States, because we would pronounce the final T. I do not believe the French would have. I believe they just would have went DuPont and just kind of stopped with the N and went, that's more than enough consonants for one name. No need to pronounce that last T. So in the States, DuPont. In a French-speaking country, DuPont. So there it is. But either way, he's the Dow chemical guy. Yes, made all of his money making nylon. That's one of the first things that Dow Chemical created. And obviously in the I think it was in the 30s that it was created. Certainly the 30s and the 40s and then on, man made a fortune in nylons. So all you ladies, you have Mr. DuPont to thank for your nude or semi-nude leggings. There you go. Or you have him to blame. I've heard my lovely wife be happy and not happy about having to put on pantyhose. So I'll take her word for it. So no personal experience myself. So, anywho. So, but it's a lovely, lovely garden. If you're in the area, definitely worth a trip to go see it. And they have a cafeteria that puts forth a very nice Thanksgiving Day meal. Your usual, your turkey and all the tremends kind of a thing. So we usually go and get that, see the gardens, and have a nice kind of a quiet day for Thanksgiving, and and have somebody cook for us. Plus, you don't have to clean up. Just bus your own table. So, and that's it. So, it's nice. But this year we went to a place called the Milton Inn. It is an old stone farmhouse that has been created into a restaurant. So, two stories, restaurant on both floors, and there's also a bar, and there's also an enclosed patio area as well. So, very nice food, not inexpensive. So you're going out for a nice meal. It does, in fact, have a dress code. So I was in my nice pants, nice shirt, and a sports jacket for a nice meal. But does not require a tie, which is good because, you know, you are going to eat a fair amount of food, and That's less than enjoyable when you have a tie on. So there it is. But yeah, good stuff. Good stuff. So we had both had endive salads, which had blue cheese and pecans in them, or pecans, as I said before. That was very, very nice. Susie decided to go non-traditional, which is very much like my wife. And instead of getting turkey, she got some very nice scallops for her Thanksgiving meal. She went seafood for Thanksgiving. I, of course, went traditional, as is my wont, and had a mix of light and dark meat, mashed potatoes, cranberry, and stuffing. Although the stuffing went back to the kitchen because I am not a fan of stuffing. I know it's kind of a Thanksgiving Day sacrilege to not have stuffing, but, you know, it all just tastes like soggy bread to me, and I'm not a real big fan of soggy bread. I don't consider that an entree. So I always pass on the stuffing. So, and this was no difference. I did give it a try and went, okay, it's just soggy bread. So, no, I don't really like soggy bread. But it had a nice gravy over all of it, so it was nice. And then, finished the meal off with a flourless chocolate cake. I have no idea how one makes a cake without flour, but however one does that, it's pretty darn good. That was yummy. Of course, we had our free water that they give you. I had a raisin sourdough bread. I've never had sourdough bread with raisins in it. Matter of fact, I've never had sourdough bread with anything else in it other than sourdough. Let me tell you, raisin sourdough, oh man, that is pretty good. I had an adult beverage called, I'm sorry, it's French, a nouvelle école, which is French for new school. It's actually the name of a school. I believe it's a school for the gifted in France. It was a bourbon-based adult beverage. In fact, it was Woodford's Reserve, which, if you're a bourbon drinker, Woodford Reserve is a nice bourbon. I forget all the stuff they mixed it with, but what was nice about it is you could tell it was bourbon-based, but it didn't have the sharpness that bourbon and whiskey in general can have. It was pretty smooth, so very, very nice. And the nice thing about bourbon, particularly, is bourbon is a sip and drink. So no one expects you to, as the phrase goes, shoot the dog, right? And slam your bourbon. If you're going to do that, you should not be drinking bourbon. You're doing it wrong. Bourbon is for sipping. So the fact that you might have a glass of bourbon and it might take you 35 minutes to an hour to finish it, that's okay. You're supposed to enjoy it. You're not supposed to be slamming it, right? So it is very much an adult drink, unlike how much can I drink in the next 15 minutes, late teens, early 20s, college-y kind of beverage, right? So there you go. So that was very nice. That's pretty much all we did yesterday. It was kind of a quiet day for us. Of course, today is the shopping mayhem day for those who wish to go into a box store, as they are now called, and grab stuff off the shelves, getting to grumblings and shouting matches, possibly even fisticuffs with fellow shoppers in order to get that one gift that is likely to get regifted in 30 days after Christmas. Susie and I, we pass on that as well. Generally speaking, you can usually get as good a deal sometime throughout the year as you can get on a Black Friday sale. Or if it really is that good of a sale, it's usually one of those. We have two in the store. Unless you're willing to camp outside at 3 o'clock in the morning and wait until the store opens up so you can run and push and shove your way to that location and pick up the one or two items at that terrific sale price, well, then you're going to be stuck with just an okay price, which you could probably get a number of times throughout the year. So, like I said, we take a pass on the shopping part. So, but for us, today is decoration day. Today is the day that Jim gets the Christmas decorations out and the house transforms from non-Christmas stuff to Christmas stuff all over the place. It is now legit to do Christmas. Some folks around us have been doing Christmas since Halloween ended. Our FM radio stations being one that have been doing Christmas music nonstop all the time since November 1st. That's just, sorry folks, that's way too early for me. I am not a Grinch. I am very much into Christmas when it is Christmas time. You know, we have to be within shouting distance, though. So, and November 1st, it's not. So, but I was thinking about this morning because there is so much variability on what people do for Christmas. You know, some folks, they decorate super duper early. And, you know, do the whole Christmas mania thing. And then, on the 26th, which in Canada and in England is known as Boxing Day, it all comes down, all right? As soon as Christmas is over, we're done. I even know people who all that stuff goes at the end of the day on Christmas. I mean, once like the gifts are all done and all that, I've known people who, yeah, I mean, all the Christmas stuff, yeah, by 4 in the afternoon, it's gone. Trees out front, we're done. You know, some folks will hang on to the Christmas decorations and hopefully the Christmas spirit until January the 1st. And some folks, much fewer, will hang on to it until January the 6th, which is what we do. And for those of you who may be saying, January the 6th, why the heck would you do that? Well, it's because of that song that if you don't sing it, you know about it. And it's called the 12 days of Christmas, right? Christmas Day is day one, not day zero, not day, you know, not day 12. It is day one. So 12 days after Christmas is January the 6th, which, whether it's the actual date or just the observed date, is the date that the wise men showed up. Because, yeah, the wise men did not show up on Christmas Day. They showed up after Christmas. So yes, we hang on to that. And all of our Christmas stuff stays up all the way through January the 6th. And then on January the 7th, or in the afternoon on January the 6th, that's when it can all come down. It goes back into its boxes and it gets put away. And now we're just into crappy old winter, right? So, there it is. So, but I remember as a small child, you know, what would I be doing on Black Friday? Nothing. We did not decorate the house. In fact, we did not get our plastic tree, because we had an artificial tree growing up. We did not get that tree out of the basement until December the 23rd. That is when the tree came out and the tree got put together. And then that's it. The tree went up. We got all the other, the Christmas ornaments and all that stuff came out, because none of that happened until Christmas Eve. And that's what we did Christmas Eve. We had whatever Christmas beverage we were going to have. Not a fan of eggnog, but some people in my family were. I'd be more of a hot cocoa kind of a kid. And the Christmas music would be going, and we would be spending our time decorating the tree. Getting the lights on, getting it just right. Once everything was done, then we would go to our room, get all the gifts that we had wrapped, put them under the tree. Or if we had gifts for folks we hadn't wrapped yet, that was the day to wrap them and then put them under the tree. And of course, you went to bed, you woke up, and lo and behold, there were more gifts under the tree when you woke up. As a young child, I believe that a fat man from the north broke into our house, ate the food that we left as a bribe so he would not steal anything, and in fact just left gifts. Obviously, as you get older, you tend not to believe in the fat man so much anymore, and you realize this is just your folks not wanting to drop the gifts off in front of you. But I think probably somewhere around, probably sometime around when I was in eighth grade. So my sister would have been 10 at that time. From that point on, it was just all the gifts came down. On Christmas Eve. So, because at that point my sister was old enough that she no longer believed in Santa Claus. So it was, all the gifts came down, and then you just sat there for the entirety of Christmas Eve, looking at that tree going, can't wait till tomorrow when I can open this stuff up, because I'm kind of wondering what this is. I'm wondering what that is. Other tradition was my uncle, who at the time lived in Boston, would always visit at Thanksgiving. And he would bring all of the Christmas gifts that he was going to have for my parents, for my sister, and myself. And he would drop them off at Thanksgiving. All right? And they would sit there for a month. For a month they were sitting out there. Like, oh, what the heck could this be? What the heck could this be? You know, you can pick it up, you can give it a little bit of a shake, kind of try to think, and, you know, I could never figure out what he bought. Because he's the kind of guy that would go and buy you, like, a pencil, and then go get a shoebox, right? And then, you know, pack it all full of newspaper, and put the pencil in the shoebox, and wrap the shoebox. So you had no idea. The box was not a clue, right? You know, or if it came in a large box, he was the kind of person that might even take it out of the large box and put it in a smaller box, all right? So that, you know, you could not literally just go, oh, I can tell from the package, this has got to be a whatever, right? So he would do stuff like that. So you could never guess what his presents were. It was always a surprise, which was nice. But he has informed us that through the magic known as Amazon, our gifts are actually going to be showing up either today or tomorrow. So we are once again going to have gifts from my uncle that are going to be sitting in our house for a month. And I'm going to be staring at this Amazon box going, huh, I wonder what this could be. So So some things will be the same. But as I said, we didn't do anything until basically Christmas Eve. And so this idea of decorating on Black Friday, that's something that Susie and I came up with after we got married. So it is our custom, not the one that I grew up with. So, well, there it is. But, well, what else? Well, going to be fairly standard November weather for the remainder of November. So, 40s, 20s, and 30s at night. I think we have a little bit of rain possibly showing up on Saturday. So, that may be a bummer for any run that I have planned on doing. pardon the cough there. So today is 1 week away from my planned trip to Savannah, Georgia for the Savannah River Bridge Run across the Talmadge Bridge. So it's a 15K. I'm very happy with the training that I've been able to get done. Again, was never planning on doing this race for a particular time. Loosely, I would like to do it in an hour and a half. So three 30-minute 5Ks. But honestly, if it takes me an hour and 36 minutes, if it takes me an hour and 38 minutes, I don't care, right? I don't really care. The monkey I wanted to get off my back was not how fast can I run a 15K. It was, can I get on a plane, go somewhere, and actually do a travel race? So, that was the only monkey I wanted to get off my back. Well, it would appear that the monkey may be digging in. So, I will not get into the specifics. In fact, I believe there's only one person I have told this to, and they know who they are. But I do not want to get out ahead of my skis on this. At some point, I will explain it to you. It will make perfect sense when I do. But for now, I think the best thing to do is to not get out ahead of my skis. But it looks fairly likely that my plans to go to Savannah will be rescheduled to go to Syracuse instead. So, I think that's where we will leave it. So, it does appear that something is going to happen to once again, for the fourth year in a row, prevent me from making a long trip, a train trip, or taking a flight to go and do a travel race. So, there you go. More things to say on that, but like I said, not going to get out ahead of my skis. Nothing's official yet. So, we will wait until it's official, and then we will talk then. But yeah, it don't look good. We'll just leave it at that. It don't look good. So, anyway, but I'm in my, I should be in my taper mode now anyway. So, plans for Saturday, which is tomorrow, was only to do a 10K anyway. So, that's all I have planned. And then, and 3 miles again on Sunday. And, of course, a rest day on Monday. I do think, though, what I'm going to be doing is I think I'm going to be updating my training to 4 days a week again, which is what I did before. 4 days worked really well. And I think that's what I'm going to do. I think I'm going to go back to taking Wednesdays off from running. So it'll be a 3 or 4 mile run on Tuesday and Thursday, a long run on Saturday, and then again a 3 or 4 mile run on Sunday. I say 3 or 4 because I've been doing this long enough that I should be starting to bump my 3 mile runs up to 4 mile runs. Eventually I'd like to get them, I'd like to get my base miles just up to a straight old 5 mile run. So then it would be Sunday, Tuesday, Thursday. So 15 miles right there, just from those 3 days. And then whenever I do on Saturday, adds to that. So that's the plan. So there it is. But otherwise, like I said, the training's going well. Mr. Koros is a little bit upset with the 5 days a week. So by the time I get to Thursday, it's like, you're exhausted. And I'm like, actually, dude, I kind of feel okay. I'm not sure why you think I'm exhausted, but I actually feel okay. But last week, I noticed on, was it Wednesday? Yeah, it was Wednesday, so it was the day before Thanksgiving, so. Did have a little bit of leftover residual soreness in my hamstrings, of all places. And it's not usually a muscle that bothers me. You know, if something's going to bother me, it's usually like the Achilles that might be a little sore. If it's a long enough run, my quads may be sore. But not usually my hamstrings. Usually the hamstrings aren't an issue, but they were a little sore. So I said, all right, well, we'll just take it leaving a little bit easier. And they feel great today, so there it is. So, but otherwise, no other plans running-wise in the past. I would do something around here referred to as a jingle bell run, which is obviously a Christmas-themed run in December. But next month starts the race series out in Berks County, which is where Reading, Pennsylvania is, about an hour from us again, known as Shiver by the River. And it is a one run a month, and it's a 5K course, and you can decide if you want to do 5K or 10K. If you want to do 10K, just don't go through the finish area, go around it, do the course one more time. Same money. And when you're done, there's usually some hot cocoa, some bagels. It was a race series that Susie and I did for a number of years, but became problematic because, of course, Susie and I work weekends. And so you'd sign up for the race series and go like, well, I can do 3 out of the 4 because it's December, January, February, and March for the series. And, you know, or I can do 2 and Susie could do 3. Or I could do 2, she could do 2, but only one of those can we actually do it together on the same date. So, now that we both have weekends off, I'd like to see if we can go back to doing that. Because they do allow walkers. It's the nice thing with the running culture this day. It's It's much more walker friendly than it used to be. I remember back in the 80s, you wouldn't think of showing up to a 5K and say, well, I'm going to walk it. They're like, you can go ahead and do whatever you want, but we'll be long gone by the time you get back, because pretty much a 5K, if you're not going to be done in 35 minutes, we're kind of done with you. So, thankfully, there are a lot more back of the packers, and so they have made these events a lot more family friendly, honestly. So there it is. All right, I have strung you along long enough. Now time to tell you about the title. As I know you're sitting here going, it's been 41 minutes, dude. Where the heck's the title come in? All right, well, now let me tell you. You've been faithful, let me tell you. So my lovely wife and I are having a nice meal at the Milton Inn. And again, it's an old farmhouse. So again, the rooms that you're eating in used to be bedrooms, right? So we're in our room, and I'm trying to think, there was, there was a table for four, two tables for two, and then there was a table for, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, like eight, because there was like a sofa against the wall, and then table and then chairs on the other side, so it was a big group, just to our right. Most people, again, you're in a nice restaurant, so people are there with their inside voice. Well, there was this one lady who, I don't know whether she had had too many adult beverages or whether she's just somebody who's not very self-aware. But she was definitely not speaking with her inside voice. She was speaking with her outside voice. Actually, she was speaking with her outside at a Who concert outside voice. So, yeah, everything this woman said was no longer a secret after she said it. You could not help but hear her conversation. Literally, I almost, for a while, was like, are you speaking this loud because you think you're particularly funny and you're entertaining the entire room? Don't know. Didn't ask her. But actual conversation, as I am sipping on my Nouvelle Ecole and eating my endive salad. So this woman literally out of nowhere perks up and she's like, so I walk through the TSA scanner and my private parts light up. And of course, there's this whole big story to follow about, oh, they're all nervous and you have to go back and go through it and go back through it. I mean, I think they made her go through the scanner, like, according to her, like four times. And every time her private parts lit up and they're like, do you have anything down there? Of course, again, they're going to have to get a female TSA agent to come see this lady. I now know that she had the roughest pat down of her life. I'm thinking, if you're that interested in talking about your private parts that loudly, I find that hard to believe that you haven't had a rougher pat-down. But that's just me. Because you kind of sound like you're big for putting it all out there, lady. So, I mean, something like in her mid-30s there, you know? So, I'm like, okay. But, yeah, just not very self-aware. But it was one of those, okay, things I did not expect to hear at a fancy restaurant that requires a dress code on Thanksgiving Day. So I walked through the TSA scanner and my private parts lit up. So, So there you go. That is the title. So, yeah. Something else. Like I say, you know, if you're going to be at a restaurant, remember, inside voice. In fact, there are actually some things, no matter how funny that story is, that you actually are better off just not sharing in a restaurant. Maybe wait until, you know, you're with, you know, a bunch of friends, and you're someplace particularly private. You can share that stuff there, but wow. Anyway, we are now headed down the big hill, and I can tell it has warmed up a bit, so it'll be time to go and get the barn ready, get the two horses, one llama, and 18 goats outside for the day. And then for me, my next thing is a trip to the post office to go mail Christmas cards. I'm going to blink three times and Christmas is going to be here. So the first batch of Christmas cards go out today. I say first batch because these are the folks that normally get a Christmas card from me. And then you have to have some Christmas cards left over because, you know, if you get a Christmas card from somebody and it's like, holy crap, I didn't send you a Christmas card this year. Well, it's nice to be able to quickly turn around and go, but I'm sending you one right now. Boom, 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 boom. And then boom. So there it is. So, but pretty much I think I have covered everybody. I got about 20 cards going out, so it's not like it's a small number going out today. I have that going out today, and I have one gift going out today because it's ready to go out today. The rest of our gift giving will start going out on Monday, which is known as Cyber Monday, yet another shopping day, but this time it's everybody jumps into Amazon or some other online shopping frenzy and goes and buys stuff there. So there it is. Speaking of shopping, I'll end it with this here since I'm starting to end these with my ham radio sign off. I got a new radio. So I got an inexpensive Chinese radio. It's got some neat features on it. This is going to mean something only probably to my friend Steve Hailstone, who's a fellow amateur radio enthusiast like myself. But it is, the company name is Quan Shang. It's Chinese. $30. But it is 2 meters, 70 centimeters. To decrypt that a little bit, VHF and UHF, and then it will also do cross-band repeating, so literally you can talk on one band, say like 2 meters, and receive on 70 centimeters, which is neat if you want to use it to talk to a satellite, all right? So you want to bounce your signal off of a satellite. You need to send it on one frequency and then receive it on another. So you can actually do that with this radio, which is only $30. It also has NOAA weather already pre-programmed in. You can also go find it in your area, but has that in there. It will do air bands, and it also does regular FM radio. So if you decide, you know, this whole ham radio stuff just isn't for me, it's not a lost purchase because you can literally just turn it into a transistor radio and listen to FM radio on the thing. So pretty cool. Has a number of other features, but a lot of stuff for $30. So I got that yesterday, and I'm going to do some more tinkering with it today. But the other thing that's neat is there is a modification you can do with it. Experimental. You're not supposed to do these things, but if they happen, they happen. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, right? And you can actually expand its ability to receive and transmit all the way up into the HF bands, as far as 17 centimeters. What does that mean? For those of you who don't speak amateur radio, you can listen to part of shortwave on this. And you can also speak on it in something referred to as single sideband. So to have a handheld radio that you can actually speak, say, like in 10 meters, all right, in single sideband, that's really, really unique. And it's a big kind of a geek out thing for those of us in amateur radio. So I may or may not do this modification. Wink, wink. I've seen on YouTube a number of people that have done this, and it is decent all the way through 12 meters. 11 meters, just so you know, that's CB. That's what the CB bands are on. They're on 11 meters. But 10 meters right now is a big use international amateur radio frequency. And it is, as we would refer to it, it's open now. So because of the solar cycle, which we're in, 10 meters now makes it around the globe. You can pick up 10 meters from a long, long way away. Normally, you have to usually start somewhere about 20 meters. It's usually to 20 or 40 is probably the most commonly used amateur radio frequencies that are used are in those bands, the 20 or the 40 meter band, and meters. That's how big the wave is. So if you think about, you know, a wave like you would see on a, you know, on the water, you know, starts at one lip, goes up, comes all the way down, goes down, comes all the way back up. So from one end to the other, that's the wave. And a 20 meter band, that wave measures 20 meters long. All right, 2 meters measures 2 meters long. 70 centimeters means it's 70 centimeters long. So that's what that means. But to be able to actually listen to single sideband on 10 meters, which, again, on YouTube, one of the people I've seen that have done it, it's decent. I mean, it comes in pretty well. 11 comes in okay. Again, if I want to listen to CB, I'll get a CB. All right, I'll get something that's made to listen to the CB. 12 meters also, a little less listenable, but okay. But like it also picks up 15 and 17, but it not really very easy to listen to. So like I wouldn't bother with that. But being able to hear 10 meters on a handheld from somebody on a radio in Japan, that would be kind of cool. So there's that. Possibly, wink, wink, a project for this weekend. So there it is. That's enough. That's been almost an hour. So this will keep you guys busy for a while. So I'm going to get this dog inside, deal with our barn and all this stuff, and be about my day. So until we speak again, be well, stay healthy. I think most of the people who listen to this run, so make sure you get your training done. And until we speak again, 7-3. Who's a good puppy, huh? Who's a good puppy?